The ability is in the Word of God. The life is in the Word, not the soil. The soil creates the condition, the atmosphere, but the energy of God is in what He said. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? He's identifying something, that this parable is actually key to unlocking all the others. In this parable is the illustration of the nature and the purpose for the Word of God. I value the voice of God just more than anything in life. But my value for the voice of God has to be represented in my value for Scripture. If I value the voice above Scripture, then I'm very open to deception. The voice will never contradict the Word. In a day when it's so easy to have the Bible in print in various translations, there's no excuse for biblical illiteracy. So we give ourselves to the study of Scripture, but it is a voice that causes things to come alive. The Word of God is the seed. The heart is the soil. Tender soil receives a word deeply, and the life of God then brings about the change that God intended. In Thessalonians, Paul uses this phrase. He says that the Word of God actually carries in it, the Greek word actually represents the energy of God, that the Word of God has the energy of God in it. So when God speaks to you, it comes in seed form to produce in us, through the energy of God functioning in us, bringing about the fruitfulness that He intended. So the heart is the soil. The seed is the Word of God. Jesus gives us an illustration, now a parable, if you will, in Mark 4, it's also in Matthew 13. And this parable is to help us to understand the process and purpose for the Word of God being deposited in our life. I want you to look at two passages before we go to Mark 4. So if you would open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 5, and then we're also going to read out of James chapter 1. I need to set the stage here for a few minutes, so just be patient with me as we try to lay the groundwork for this. By the way, I found a quote this week that I love so much. It's from Martin Luther. He says, "We need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day." We need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. And hearing the gospel is what recalibrates the compass of the heart, so to speak, as to where is true north, why we're alive, what we're on the earth to do, what is important in God's eyes, what is to become important in ours. And all of that stuff becomes defined in hearing the simplicity, the purity, the power of the gospel every day. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. How many of you have your Bibles? Let me see them. Say this with me. I love my Bible. Oh, I do. I love my Bible. All right. Verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." All right, this tells us two things. The Word of God comes to us in several forms, or the Word carries several different roles or assignments. One is the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is that which comforts and encourages. The meat of the Word, he identifies here as the Word of righteousness. The meat of the Word is that which provokes and brings about change. It's the transformational Word of God. It provokes us to recognize what God is saying needs to happen, and it brings us into a place where we yield to that which God has purposed. So there's the milk, that which comforts, that which gives encouragement. And then there's the meat, that which confronts, exhorts, and provokes us to change. But the third area that is going to be especially important for this morning is the area of promise. There are over 7,700 promises of God in the scriptures, in the Word of God. And what happens is the Lord, with His Word, deposits promise in us to describe our hope-filled future, what is possible for us should we embrace what God has said over our life. And we're going to go over that process in a moment here. So we've got the Word of God comes, it may come in dozens of forms, but there's three that I understand clearly. One is the comfort of the Word, it's the milk. It's that which soothes, gives peace, gives comfort, encourages me. The Word of righteousness, that which exposes what's in me that needs to change, and it gives me the motivation, if you will, to pursue the transformation that is the result of the Word of God. And the third is that which gives hope. It's a promise for a hope-filled future. All right? Three things. Now, I want you to look at James chapter 1. I've got one verse to read here, and then we're going to end up in Mark 4 and read that parable. All right? James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Okay, it's a wonderful picture that James is giving us here. New American Standard puts it this way. In humility, now that's a condition of heart. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. The ability is in the word of God. The life is in the word, not the soil. The soil creates the condition, the atmosphere, but the energy of God is in what he said. The energy of God takes root in a person to illustrate who God is. It's always to reveal him. So he says, in humility, so that's heart condition, receive the word implanted, and here's the phrase, which is able to save your souls. You say, well, Bill, I was already saved. I was saved 20 years ago at a camp meeting. That's awesome. You were saved, but you're also being saved, and someday you're going to be saved. There's those three realities all through Scripture. I was saved the moment I received Christ. But Paul exhorts the disciples of Jesus. He exhorts them to work out their salvation daily with fear and trembling. Daily work out your salvation. So that's the right now process. So there was yesterday when I received Christ. There is today, and then there is the future when Jesus returns or I die and I go to meet the Lord. Then I will be saved. Salvation will be complete for me. Past, present, future. This word, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, is present tense. It is the transformation that takes place in a person's life because of our yes to whatever God says. It's our ability, our willingness, our desire to hear and to receive what God says, and his very life and power come into the heart of a person to bring about the transformation they could not bring about for themselves.